We've been studying in the book of Philippians, but I would like to direct our thoughts toward the lost sheep that is found in Matthew's Gospel and also Luke, where in Matthew chapter 10, verses 5 through 7, we read, "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not in the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand." What I want to suggest here at the beginning is that the sheep are a subset of the house of Israel. And the word lost does not mean dead in trespasses and sins. These are sheep. They are saved. And their condition is grave. In John chapter 18, verse 20, we read that Jesus spake openly to the house of Israel. Jesus answering the high priest in his trial, Jesus answered him, "I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing." When we see the fact that he taught in the synagogues and in the temple, the world takes on a different light. The world here, I believe, is the house of Israel. And Jesus did his ministry only in the house of Israel and to the perishing or lost or perishing sheep. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 24, it says, "And he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." This verse I'm using to remind us of the fact that he is sent and not sent to any other group, people group, other than the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In John chapter 8, verse 2, it says, "And early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them." As he taught them, he preached the kingdom. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, it says that Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases among the people. The people here having to do with the house of Israel. Again, in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, it says that Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Again, emphasizing that Jesus was in the synagogues, and he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and it was in their cities and villages that he did this. In Luke chapter 19, verse 43, it says that he taught daily in the temple. Luke 19:47. He taught daily in the temple, but the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him. The chief priests and the scribes are primarily those who are representing the house of Israel. They are the leaders of the house of Israel. Teaching in the temple is another indication that Jesus did not include Gentiles. Gentiles were not allowed in the temple, because they, Gentiles being in the temple, would pollute the holy place. They accused Paul of bringing Gentiles into the temple in Acts 21:28, crying out, "Men of Israel, help! This is the man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people and the law." The people here being Israel, the house of Israel, and the law of Moses, and this place having to do with the temple. And further, and further brought Greeks into the temple and had polluted this holy place. This is just a sample or a verse that indicates that Gentiles were not included in Jesus' ministry other than being blessed by his ministry. But he was not teaching them, he was not feeding them from the scriptures. We can see that in Matthew chapter 15, verses 23 through 24 and following. But he, Jesus, answered her, a Canaanite woman, a Gentile, not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Here is a Gentile seeking a blessing from the Lord. And he answered her not a word. He ignored her. The disciples wanted her to go away and asking the Lord to send her away. She was becoming a pest. She wanted her daughter to be restored. And I think that Jesus responded to this woman in the light of Genesis 12:3. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee all the families of the earth be blessed. And this Gentile woman's daughter was blessed. In verse 28 it says, Then Jesus answered and said unto her, Woman, great is thy faith, or great is thy hope. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. This did not take place in the temple. This did not take place in the synagogue. This took place on the road or away from these facilities. Now, again, when we look at the lost sheep, I do not see that the lost sheep as being dead in their trespasses and sins. Again, Jesus said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel, or the perishing sheep of the house of Israel. James tells us that a body without the spirit is dead, or the body without breath is dead. And the word dead here is nekros, and the body has no, cannot function. And so that's physical death. In Ephesians 2:1, by the way, that the passage in James is James 2:26. In Ephesians 2:1, we see the spiritual dead, those that are spiritually dead. And you hath he quickened, who were dead, nekros, not functional, in trespasses and sins. Now the sheep are not those that are dead in their trespasses and sins. Another situation or incident about death is in James chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. Here is a brother that has strayed, that has roamed, has been deceived. The word err is translated astray, roam, deceive, and from the truth. And in Matthew chapter 12, verse 50, we find out that a brother is one who is seeking to do the will of the Father. And so this brother has erred or gone astray from the truth. And the exhortation here is for another brother to convert him or to get him to repent of this going astray. And the exhortation is, let him know that he which converteth the sinner, that is the sinning brother, from the error of his way, shall save a brother's soul from death. Save a soul from death. And here is the word thanatos. And thanatos, death, is a loss of inheritance in the kingdom. And of course, if he repents, he will confess his sin, and which will hide a multitude of sins. Now, the word thanatos, death, is a reference to a place that has keys, where people are locked up, or of erring brethren are locked in. In Revelation 1:18, he says, "I am he that liveth and have the keys of hell," that is, the grave, "and of death," thanatos. Thanatos is a place. So if you can get a brother to repent, you're going to save that brother from being incarcerated in thanatos. Now, talking about going astray, in Matthew chapter 18, verses 12 through 13, we see that sheep are those who can go astray. "How think ye? If a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more over that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray." When you think about sheep that went not astray, it means that they are continuing to believe in the present tense. They're continuing to hear in the present tense, and they're continuing to follow in the present tense. We see the definition of sheep in John chapter 10, verses 26 and 27. "But ye, the house of Israel, believe not," present active, "because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear," present active, "my voice, and I know them," present active, "and they follow me," present active. A sheep that goes astray is one who stops believing in the present tense. And we have studied this before. Believe in the present tense is the spirit of faith. They have lost the spirit of faith, the spirit of trust, the spirit of confidence in the Lord. And losing that spirit of confidence, they stop following or stop hearing his voice, and they stop following him, and these sheep go astray. And, of course, the Lord is wants to find them and to bring them back under his control. When a sheep goes astray, he is no longer under control of the shepherd. He is on his own, and he is doing that which is right in his own eyes. In Luke chapter 15, we see sheep that are out of control. "And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose," apolumai, "perish, he's alive but out of control, one of them." And the reason why I'm putting in the word "alive" is that he is not dead in his trespasses and sins. A lot of people think that lost people are dead in their trespasses and sins. Well, I can appreciate and understand what is being said in the use of that term, because I have used that term very much. But the word apolumai, lost, means out of control. And a person who isn't saved is the proper term to use for those who are dead in their trespasses and sins. Now, this sheep is aorist active, perish, or out of control. He's alive. And if the shepherd lose one of them, doth he not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost? Perfect active. In other words, that means he was lost when he quit following, and he is continually not following, and he is in the process of perishing, as this term is translated. But he is not dead. And the shepherd goes after the sheep that is on his own until he finds it. Now, I want to show you that the word perish, even though it is used in a context of physical death, it can also be applied in the way that I'm suggesting. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 25, it says his disciples, that is, and they were fishermen, and they were in a storm, and they were on the sea, and Jesus was in the back of the boat taking a nap, and they came to him and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, deliver us, we perish, we're out of control, is really what that is saying. It doesn't mean that they're dying. They're just out of control. Fishermen would not be afraid of the sea unless the storm is really great. And apparently the storm was very great. And they were not able to control the boat. They couldn't bail it fast enough to keep it from filling up. And so they call out to the Lord to deliver them, to take charge over them. And the reason is because the situation is out of control. Now, let's go back to Luke chapter 15, dealing with the sheep that is perishing, okay? Or is out of the shepherd's control. And when he had found it, he laid it on his shoulder, rejoicing. And when he came home, he called together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. So we see that the shepherd finds the sheep that is on his own, that has gone astray, that is out of control, and he puts that sheep on his shoulder. When he puts that sheep on his shoulders, who's in charge then? Is the sheep able to go astray anymore? No. The shepherd is now in charge, and the shepherd is now in control. And when he comes to his friends and neighbors, he says, I have found my sheep, which was perishing, perfect active, out of the shepherd's control. And it was continuing. The sheep was continuing to be out of the shepherd's control until he was found. And to be out of control is to be a sinner. He says, rejoice with me. Likewise, joy shall be in heaven, over one sinner that repenteth. This sinner was doing that which was right in his own eyes. When you start doing that which is right in your own eyes, you begin to live a lawless life. The Lord is no longer in control. Now, in the same context of Luke 15, we find the woman who lost a coin. A coin is not an object that can be, quote unquote, dead in its trespasses and sins. A coin that is lost or perished, that has perished, is simply out of the control of the woman who lost it. Let's read here in Luke 15, verse 8. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose, aorist active subjunctive, that's apollumai, if one of her coins is out of her control, doth not light a candle, and sweep the house, seeking diligently till she find it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there shall be joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Now the coin was not a sinner. The coin was just simply out of the woman's control. being out of her control, she could not give it as alms. She could not buy any food with it. She could not put it in a safe place for as far as savings is concerned. So here we find a coin that is out of the control of one who owned it. Just like the shepherd owned the sheep, the woman owned the coin. And she looked for the coin until she found it. And the shepherd looked for the sheep till he found it. And there was rejoicing with their friends. And he is using the parallel here. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner. That is, a sinner who belongs to the Lord and is out of the control of the Lord, that repenteth. A sinner that repenteth, admits to the error of his way, is going astray, and submits to their owner's control. Now, in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, we see an encouraging verse about perishing. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Actually, there's a definite article, the, before promise, which is a very important, I think, because of the promise is life for the age. It has to do with the millennial reign of Christ. The Lord is not slack concerning the promise of him, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. The word usward here are the brethren that are mentioned in chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. And we can see that here in the next verse in our outline, 2 Peter 1, 10 and 11. He says, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the age-lasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. That's the coming age. We're living in the age of grace, or the age, the church age. And we're anticipating that age to qualify to rule and reign. And if we make our calling and election sure, we're not going to live a lawless life. We're going to live an obedient life. We're going to live so that we can hear a well done, thou good and obedient servant. And enter into the joy of the Lord, reigning over many things. So the Lord is not slack concerning the promise of life for the age, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any brother should perish or to go astray or to continue to go astray or to continue to be out of control, but that all should come to repentance. The Lord wants us to change. The Lord wants us to come back to Him. The Lord wants us to let Him be in charge of our life. And the message that is being preached to the perishing sheep, or the sheep that are out of control, has to do with the kingdom. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. If there's no repentance, then there is no value for you in the coming kingdom of our Lord. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 10, it says, know ye not that the unrighteous, the unjust sheep, the sinning sheep, shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, brethren. In other words, don't be led astray. Do not err. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor accusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. And so the Lord is reminding the sheep there is a kingdom to be enjoyed by those that are good and faithful and profitable servants. But you know what? We can deceive ourselves. 1 John 1:18 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. When we can say that we don't have to give an account for the way we live, we have deceived ourselves because we will have to give an account for the way we live. I just wanted to share with you these thoughts about the word perishing. The word perishing really has to do with being out of control. And the Lord wants to be in charge of our life, and He doesn't want us to be in charge of our own life. He wants to be in control of us. May the Lord help us to respond to His long-suffering toward us, not willing that we should miss the coming kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but that we will be able to be approved and to rule and reign with Him in His coming kingdom. Father, I just pray that You'd bless these thoughts to all of us that have studied these things today. We just commit this message into Your hands and ask You for Your blessings upon it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.